From North State Public Radio, I'm Serena Grossi with your headlines for Tuesday, July 29th. The city of Chico recently gave a code of conduct form to residents at its alternative campsite for unhoused people. The alternative site has faced ongoing problems with safety, including a recent fatal shooting between two residents. City officials say many of the issues stem from people who aren't authorized to be there. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with Chico Public Works Director Eric Gustafson about what the code of conduct is and why the city believes it's necessary.
I just wanted to kind of get a little bit of an update on what's going on out at the alternative site, but mostly focus on this new code of conduct. Where did the idea come from for this?
Sure. Well, and it's not new. I guess it is for the alternate site, but it's what we're trying to do is, you know, get some control and some better management practices at the alternative site. That site was referenced in the settlement agreement to be a facility where those that aren't suitable for shelter for a number of reasons, and we'll have a spot to go. But basically, it's those that aren't eligible for shelter due to, you know, being a violent convicted felon, a sex offender, or if you have more than two animals.
What have some of the problems been?
We've always battled, a number of issues at the alternate site, but primarily unauthorized occupancy. So those that aren't authorized to be there will show up, think, oh, hey, it's a camping spot. We're gonna put out right here, and then they're kind of typically the problem. So those that are authorized to be at the alternate site are welcoming some, you know, better management practices.
So what exactly are the rules that are enumerated in this code of conduct?
We're layering in basic rules that are already acceptable by the court system for Genesis and are working quite well at Genesis. So the code of conduct is just an agreement that you will, you know, you are authorized to be here and you will abide by these basic rules. And if you don't, here's a due process as far as violations. And we kind of go through the violation process, too. They're given, I believe, five attempts at correction. So several verbal warnings over, you know, a period of time, and then written warnings. Those are all logged and documented through this code of conduct process. Are there violations continue and we see no action? Then it's a departure situation. And we're talking very reasonable rules, right? No unauthorized persons, no violence, no unauthorized vehicles. Campsite size is a big one. We've provided a 20-by-20 foot space for each individual, each occupant that's been assessed to be there. And some dog limitations, cooking requirements, just using the barbecue grills that are placed there, kind of respect for others and quiet hours, and just general overall respect for the community and the other occupants of the site.
How receptive have the people who are authorized to be there, how receptive have they been?
Yeah, it depends on the person. I will say the majority of them have been very receptive and welcome a higher level of visitation and rules from service providers because they are impacted by the unauthorized that show up there frequently. I mean, we were seeing, you know, a lot of drug use and folks pulling in vehicles during the nighttime hours and buying and selling drugs and staying there and causing all sorts of problems, preying on those folks that are supposed to be there, you know, theft, stealing things from their sites, that type of things.
Do you find that people who aren't authorized to be there are kind of sneaking back in after you leave?
Historically, yes, but currently, no, just due to the higher frequency of visitation there by both city staff, outreach engagement staff, and then our site operator for Genesis, which is the Jesus Center. So we're going out there several times a week just to make sure there's compliance and to remove anybody that's not authorized to be there.
There was a fairly recent shooting out there. Has anything changed in the security situation since that?
Yeah, that was an unfortunate situation. Part of the code of conduct is no weapons, but both individuals involved in that had weapons. We're hoping for compliance. There's definitely a safety concern out there, but we hope with the recent, you know, layered in rules, code of conduct, preventing vehicles to be at the site and then removing the unauthorized to be there. We hope it helps the security situation there a little bit.
Is there any security drive-bys?
Yeah, there is a daily drive-by. We also have 24/7 surveillance at the facility as well.
That's video surveillance, I'm assuming.
Correct.
As a city, do you know, as anyone in the city, I'm sure has evaluated other communities' attempts to come up with solutions? Anything out there that looks promising?
I think there's some other stuff that's on the horizon that looks very promising as far as care courts and some conservatorship most of the people you see out there that are still out in the open and experiencing homelessness have gone through an individual assessment through our outreach engagement program, but they're choosing to stay out there and not take advantage of any of the services that are offered to them. So, you know, it's tough. It's difficult. You don't want to take away anybody's rights, but also they don't have a right to impact the public space in the way that they're impacting it and continue to live in those dire situations. Yeah, we look forward to some of those other options on the horizon that might help force people into services and care and get them off the streets.
That was Chico Public Works Director Eric Gustafson speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. In other news, Planned Parenthood clinics nationwide can continue to collect Medicaid reimbursements per a new court order issued on Monday. The order stops a ban passed by Congress and signed into law by President Trump this month. CAP Radio's Laura Fitzgerald has more.
A federal judge in Massachusetts issued a preliminary injunction saying all Planned Parenthood clinics must be able to get reimbursed for the Medicaid services they provide. That includes the 114 clinics in California. Last week's temporary order only protected Planned Parenthood clinics that get less than $800,000 in Medicaid reimbursements and don't provide abortions because they operate in states with bans. The judge found that the policy established in Congress's One Big Beautiful Bill Act banning Medicaid reimbursements to Planned Parenthood likely violates the organization's First Amendment rights. One in three Planned Parenthood patients nationwide receive care in California. Around 80% of their patients are on Medi-Cal, the state's Medicaid program. Laura Fitzgerald, CAP Radio News.
And a tentative agreement has been reached between three grocery worker unions and the parent company of Safeway and Vons. United Food and Commercial Workers Locals 5, 8, and 648 said this weekend they've reached a deal with Albertsons Companies. Workers had planned to go on strike in Northern California Friday or Sunday if an agreement was not reached. Union representatives say the new deal includes wage increases, secure retirement plans, and properly funded health care benefits for 25,000 employees. The agreement comes after 5 months of negotiations and bargaining sessions. Also, the Reading City Council is considering a proposal to help curb tobacco use among minors. According to a recent state survey, Shasta County tops the list in terms of youth tobacco use in California. According to the Reading Record Searchlight, the new ordinance would assess a licensing fee of more than $1,000 on tobacco sellers. The money would be used to staff a program to address tobacco use and vaping among youth. The ordinance would also be used to offset monitoring and enforcement efforts. And finally, Airbnb and other short-term rental owners in Butte County could see increased taxes come September. Earlier this year, the tourism advocacy group Explore Butte County proposed expanding taxes to short-term rentals that are currently applied to hotels and other lodging businesses. Businesses have a 45-day protest period to challenge the proposal. The Board of Supervisors will report the findings and decide whether to move forward with the new cost. And those were your headlines for Tuesday, July 29th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, check out our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Serena Grossi.